Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Thank you, thank you. Nope, it was this. Okay. Oh, nice. At least we had, okay, sorry about, I'm sure I messed something up. I'm sorry for the guys in the sound booth. How many of you know they only get thought of when something doesn't work? But hey, this morning we're starting a new series called Real Religion. And if you're a guest today, I'm a guest as well. I would never go to a church where people do crazy stuff like that in a building. But really, it's a great example of how we see God. Now, some of you may have been raised like I was, and I'm going to say things during this series. I really want to be careful that you don't think I'm putting anybody down, that we're not diminishing anybody. In fact, we're going to show you how it's just kind of the opposite today, how God really does honor any movement toward Him. But I can only share from you from my perspective and my background, and many of you have your own. Now, I was raised where we prayed over our food every time we ate, but I was raised, as you can tell, I'm Swedish. And so being Italian, you can imagine, you know, I was raised a Catholic kid. And so we would pray over our food. And it was, you know, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. How many of you ever prayed that way? Raise your hand. How many of you have never heard that prayer before? All right, the Bible says, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. So we won't give you any details about it. But I remember that this is a prayer they left out. It was called the fast prayer. And as far as I know, submit us to not guess about the receiving by the Christ Lord of Submit. Amen. How many of you ever prayed that? Don't lie. Now raise your hand. You ever did it that way? Come on. The fast prayer. I want to talk to you today about real religion. And I want to talk to you about the danger of what religion can do to people. Now you might be here today and you say, well, religion, I mean, this is a church. Isn't that what this is? No. When I define religion, by that I mean men and women trying to do something to make themselves acceptable before God. In the context of prayer, what can I do to make God's ear open to me? Religion has caused more pain on planet Earth than perhaps any other thing. There was a day in our nation that, will, as Roosevelt said about Pearl Harbor, will live in infamy. September 11th. On September 11th, there were a group of men that got up that morning and showered and shaved, and they ate their breakfast and they went to airports. They went through security. They looked like normal, dressed like normal people. They got on planes. They sat down by people, had a conversation with people. The planes got up into the air and they took over the planes and they broke through the cockpit. They murdered people on the planes. They slashed the throats of pilots. Then they took those planes and two of them were flown into the World Trade Center. One was by the work of and the heroic passengers, it ended up in a field not far from here. And one hit the Pentagon. That was all done because of religion. That was done because people will do anything to be right with God. Now, I realize that's perverse and it's twisted, but I want you to understand that when those people did that, they were so twisted and so perverse in their understanding of who God was, they thought their reward would be conditional on how many people they killed. Religion will make people do anything because people will do anything to be made right with God. Jesus did not come to put us in a pit of religion where we basically fight over the rules of pit dwelling. He came to deliver people from the pit. And religion is when people try to make themselves right with God. Jesus came into the earth to provide a redemption for sin in mankind and to bring you and me into a direct relationship with our Heavenly Father and brought into the family of God. God will honor any heartfelt movement toward Him, even in ignorance. Now, when it's perverse and it's twisted, it's actually inspired of hell. And I believe that the enemy of God, the enemy of man, Satan and his kingdom, takes the religion and he uses it to actually destroy people. You're going to find that where you make attempts toward God through the avenues of religion, Jesus said it this way, your traditions have made my word of no effect in your life. And I'm thoroughly convinced that the kingdom of darkness takes an initial desire toward God and will pervert it. And some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life call themselves Christians. And they fight over being right. In fact, I've heard them scream, I'm dead right. But the fact of it is, you're still dead. God isn't about me being right or you being right. He's about making us right through Him. And I want to talk to you about real religion. God will honor any real heartfelt person toward Him, any movement toward Him. Look what Deuteronomy says, chapter 4, verse 29. He said, from there, that is the place of not knowing God, you will search for God, the Lord your God, and if you search for Him with all your heart and all your soul, you will find Him. God is saying that when people make movement toward me, I will make movement toward them. They'll find me. In fact, I would tell you this, I would rather have a person who didn't know the Bible, who didn't even know God, but had a heart to go after God. I would rather work with a person, I would rather deal with a person like that than I would a person who says they know God, but their heart is far from God. And that's what religion does to us, is it makes us honor God with our lips, but our hearts can be far from Him. Religion will make you believe things and do things that are so ridiculous. And it's cruel. Religion will make you critical. Religion will make you come into this church and be critical. Religion will make you come into this church and say, where's the cross? Now, by the way, we have two big ones on the outside of the building. One, we're going to have to put, I think the FAA wants to put a little light beacon up there. It's so high up that the helicopters might hit it, okay? We have one out at the baptistry. But let me tell you something. Jesus didn't die to make a building holy. He died to make you holy. He didn't die to put His imprint on bricks and mortar. He died to put His imprint in you and me. And He said, if you'll search after me, if you'll seek me, you're going to find me. In Matthew 7, Jesus said it this way. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. To he who seeks will find. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus is saying, look, if you make movement toward God, God's going to meet you. A really good friend of mine who's spoken here frequently, and we'll get him back here at some time in the future. His name is Christopher Alam. How many of you have heard Christopher speak here? How many of you have never heard Christopher speak? Okay. His given name at birth was Muhammad Alam. Christopher was raised in Pakistan. He's Arab and Pakistani. He's part of the lineage of Muhammad. He was a devout Muslim. And when he was a teenager, his home life was so difficult. His father was a general in the Pakistani army. His parents were divorced. His dad remarried a woman who hated him and was so cruel to him. So at about 13 years old, he went into the armed services. And before he was finished with his teenage years, he was in the heat of battles watching men beside him die and killing people himself. And he wanted to know God so desperately that he began to pray this prayer, because as a Muslim, he believed that if he died in a battle that was a jihad, that he would go right to heaven. So he began to put himself in the most dangerous positions, hoping to die, because he had no other hope in his life. He said, and all the while he was watching people who didn't want to die, die beside him. And it just, he brought him, and the war ended, and he came out of his time of service with utter despair in his heart, because he thought this was my only chance to know God, because I could know God if I died in jihad, but I could never know him any other way. I'm too broken and too stained with sin. Christopher is walking down the street in his city, and there's a tall Englishman, a white guy, on a street corner across the way. Chris said, when I looked over, and he changed his name from Muhammad to Christopher after he gave his life to Christ. He said, I saw this man, and of course he stood out because he was a tall white guy. He said, but there was something, it seemed like a light emanated from him. So I walked over to where he was. He was handing out pamphlets. And Christopher asked him and engaged him what he was there to do. And in just a short period of time, he told him about Christ. He said, John, I don't know how to explain it to you, but God himself made those words real to me. And do you know that's exactly what the Bible says will happen? When you give people the gospel, the Holy Spirit will come and convince them, not you. And the presence of God, he said, fell on me. I dropped on my knees in the middle of that crowd. I gave my life to Christ. You see, he was hungry after God. And God sent a man to his city in Pakistan. And Christopher, hundreds of people walked by that man. But there was something in his heart where he wanted to know God. And God sent a man from across, literally, thousands of miles away, just for him. Christopher's father, once he was baptized. In fact, after Christopher was baptized, the Muslims killed the man who baptized him. And then, because Christopher now had made his declaration public, and now his father wanted to kill his own son, he escaped Pakistan and he found asylum in Sweden. And now he's ministering the gospel, and you're giving every month a portion of it, help support the work that he does. Last year alone, under his ministry, through the outreaches of their ministry and their open air meetings throughout the world, almost just under 1 million people gave their lives to Christ through his ministry last year. It's incredible. But here's the thing. He had a heart for God. He just didn't know God. There's a man in the Bible who was very similar. His name was Cornelius. And Cornelius, the Bible said, was an Italian, which makes me feel very warm and fuzzy. And for those of you who think I'm joking, it really is in the Bible. Read it in Acts 10. Cornelius of the Italian band. Now, I have a private revelation. I think his last name was Nuzzo, but that's a separate discussion. Cornelius had a heart for God. And God sends an angel to speak to him. Even though he doesn't know God, he's making movement toward God. So let me preface this whole series by saying this. I pray you do not hear one sentence of you thinking me that I'm saying something to disparage people in a religion or a certain belief system. I'm not. I'm simply saying to you that we need to submit what we believe to the truth of who God really is, and not the forms that men have come up with to make ourselves right before God, because they actually do you more damage than good. Cornelius, let me read to you here in Acts 10, verse 33. Cornelius is actually sharing what has happened to him with Peter. And he's saying, Peter, I want to explain to you, because you see, at that time, Jews would in any way have any relationship with Gentiles or non-Jews. And God supernaturally is sending Peter to go preach the gospel to a non-Jew, a Gentile, an Italian at that. And Peter was, he said, God, I can't go. I've never been with anybody unclean. And God tells Peter through a vision, don't you ever call something unclean that I've cleansed. And so we find Peter coming to Cornelius' house. And let's pick it up in Acts 10, verse 30. Cornelius replies to Peter. He said, 4 days ago, I was praying. Everybody say praying. I was praying in my house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Everybody say gifts to the poor. By the way, acts of kindness cards, use them. Already hearing stories about people giving and blessing people with these and making a difference in people's lives. How many of you would like your giving to people in need, giving to people and serving people to be noticed by God? It's noticed, and it was by Cornelius, for Cornelius. Verse 32, God and the angel says, now you send men to Joppa and summon Simon Peter. He's staying in the house or home of Simon the leather worker who lives near the shore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here waiting before you, or waiting before God, to hear the message the Lord has given you. And Peter gives him the message of the gospel, and Cornelius in his household is gloriously saved. In fact, here's what the Bible says happened in Acts chapter 10. It said, while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on all of Cornelius' house that heard the word of God. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and they magnified God. God answered his heart cry. They were born of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Not a religion, not a form of walking with God, not a weekend Christianity, but a real relationship with God. And that's what happened with Cornelius. Now, Peter immediately was called on the carpet by the religious crowd. They said, you should never have brought the gospel to a non-Jew. And in Peter describing what happened, Acts chapter 11, verse 12, he said, he's telling the story about what Cornelius told him. And he, that is Cornelius, told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and said, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words which you and your whole household will be saved. So Cornelius wasn't saved at this point, but he was praying. What kind of prayers was Cornelius praying? Was he praying the type of prayers that many of us thought we were led to believe were effective growing up? Because I can tell you what he wasn't doing was just uttering a bunch of words. I can hear Cornelius saying, God, I want to know you. God, I want to serve you. Help me to know what it means to walk with you. God, I don't know you, but show me who you are. And God sent an angel to him, and God sent a vision to Peter. And the word of God had to be brought to Cornelius in order for him to be saved. He was praying in the dark. He didn't know, but he was making movement toward God. And God answered the cry of his heart, not with repetitious words that have no meaning, but a heart cry. See, if we're not careful, we will make prayer something that is absolutely not in the Bible. I remember as a kid when I would go to confession, and some of you aren't Catholic or don't have a Catholic background, you won't understand this, but when you sinned, you would go to the priest and you would go into the confessional and you would pray, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It had been X amount of weeks, days, or months, or years before my last confession. And then you would begin to tell him, you'd pray a prayer, this other prayer, an act of contrition, and then you would tell him your sins. And when you were done, he would say, my son, for your penance, say 3 Hail Marys, 4 Our Fathers, and 5 acts of contrition. Go in peace. Which, those are prayers. Now, as a little boy, as a 10, 12-year-old boy, I didn't know it was Hail Mary. I thought it was Hail Mary. Which I thought, why did they name it Hail Mary? That's a bad name for a prayer. So, you know, we called them the Our Fathers. You called it the Lord's Prayer. But so I would go and I'd go up. And first you could light a candle. And I didn't understand much of that. But I liked lighting candles as a kid. But I'd go up there and they'd all be lit. So I'd look around. Whew, and I'd blow about 4 of them out. Now, there's some poor soul just about to get out of purgatory. Popped right back in. Because I blew his candle out. I'm just teasing now. And there was a little money thing there that you put a coin in and it would drop in and it would echo, ding, and you could hear it throughout the church. So I didn't have any money because I had, 4 brothers and my dad's a mill worker. I didn't have any change unless I stole it from one of my brothers. And so which I had to say about in confession that I stole. But anyway, so I'd ding it real hard with my finger and the money would jingle in it. Bam! And I'd light me a candle and then I'd go down and I'd kneel down and I'd pray. Because I had to say three Lord's prayers or our Father's. I would do this. Our Father, our Father, Father, heaven. Hallowed, hallowed, because I thought I just had to get the words out of my mouth. He said, well, I would never do something that silly, really. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer in your life? Raise your hand. We all have prayed it. How about this? How many of you ever played sports in high school, football? Anybody ever play football? How many of you remember when you were allowed to pray in school? You remember that? And you know, that's been solved. That's worked real well. But anyway, there's a great thing to pull out of people's lives, a walk with God. Okay, but anyway, it's about separation church and say, okay, whatever. It's worked real well, regardless of what you think. It hasn't had a great effect in the nation. But nonetheless, coaches cussing, screaming, blankety blank, no, we're going to, and then they, let's pray. Our Father was hard in heaven, and then we'd say, amen, to get, now you blah, 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 and you go back out, let's kill us, blah, 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 blah. Beep, 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 beep. And he just, and because if you said the Lord's Prayer, maybe somebody wouldn't get their head, you know, taken off their shoulders. It was like a lucky rabbit's foot. So through the years, I've asked people this. I said, have you prayed the Lord's Prayer? They say, yes. I said, did you get it? They could get what? I said, what you asked for? I didn't ask for anything. I just prayed a prayer. Okay, what did you say when you prayed the prayer? Well, you know the Lord's Prayer. But what did you ask God for? I don't know. How many times have you said it? 2,000 times. Do you even remember what, do you know what it means? Our Father, which art. Is that his name? Art? He art in heaven. Okay, I guess his name was Art. All right. Hallowed. Halloween, something, your name. I don't even know what it means. Most people have never even given, you've prayed it 1,000 times and you've never even let it register on your heart what it means. That's what religion will do to you. It will take something as sacred as the words of Jesus and make it amount to nothing more than you could have done this. Oh, Mary had a little lamb. My God, her fleece was white as snow. Oh, Jesus. And everywhere that Mary went, hallelujah, the lamb was sure to go. So that's sacrilegious. Know what's sacrilegious? Is to pray to God with words that mean nothing. And I can remember, I would go, our Father, which da, 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 da. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with you, blessed are thou amongst women, blessed are thou among Jesus, holy Mary, mother, I pray for sin, not thy death, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with you, blessed are thou among women, blessed are thou among Jesus, holy Mary, mother, I pray for sin, not thy death, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with you, blessed are thou among women, blessed are thou among Jesus, holy Mary, mother, I pray for sin, not thy death, amen. Whew. It's better now. You see, not everybody does it that way. I understand that. I'm not putting anyone down for any movement they make toward God. I'm saying to you that it doesn't matter what you say you want to do toward God. It is so easy to have religion or what you think you're doing become meaningless to you if you don't understand the truth of how much God loves you. That this doesn't start with me loving God. It starts with God loving me. It doesn't start with me seeking God. It starts with God seeking me. It doesn't start with me climbing a ladder to reach God. It starts with God coming from heaven to earth to pay the debt for my sin to reach me. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 17, in verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus said, do not make vain repetitions. So what do? We took the Lord's Prayer and made a vain repetition out of it. Do you see how subtly? In fact, I think you could go to 90% of the people who live in this area and say, recite the Lord's Prayer for me, or recite the Our Father. They'll do it without thinking. And then ask them, did you get it? Get what? What you just asked for. I didn't ask for anything. I just was praying because I thought if I prayed, God would hear my many words and He would touch me. He would help me. As Jesus said, I thought I would be heard for my much speaking. He said, well, Pastor John, I don't pray to Mary like you were raised, and I don't pray those prayers quickly like you did. Well, do you know easily we can, I don't care what your background is. Prayer can be made to be something so devoid of intimacy with God. That's why next week we're going to go into the subject of penance. We're going to go into what it means to either work for your righteousness or receive it by grace. The Godfather is going to come on video next week. We're going to have a lot of fun with some of this stuff. But listen, I want to talk to you. This is deadly to people. It's deadly whether you know God or whether you don't. And it can creep into anybody's life. And it's so important that we understand these things. For example, somebody has a problem in their life and they find solace in how many people are praying for their issue. In other words, somebody that knows God well enough can finally get to God, kind of like at the prayer table, that God may not hear me, but maybe He'll hear you. So in fact, not once, not twice, hundreds and hundreds of times in 30 years, people have come to me with this kind of the substance of the thought would be this. Pastor John, I'm going through A, B, C, D, whatever it is. And I said, well, you know, I'm sorry, and how can I help you? And, well, I just want you to know, thousands of people are praying for this. And I'd like you to add your prayers to it. Okay? And so here's what they did. They called the prayer vine. They called the prayer chain. They went to the prayer tower and then the prayer basement. Then they put a Facebook post up. If you're going to ask God to do this, like this post. They say, you know, I have 250 people like this. That means at a minimum, because I've called the prayer vine, prayer basement, prayer chain, and now I've asked you to pray, and you're a pastor, so you've got to have like, you've got to be able to slip one past the goalie. You got it. You're a pastor. So here's the deal. I bet there's 500-600 people asking God right now for it. And you think that God will, your prayer will be heard for their much speaking. And you have no idea how to receive from God for yourself. You have no idea how to go to a place before God of intimacy, Father, Son, Father, Daughter, and to receive by grace through faith. You think it has to do with somebody just wearing God out. It's so easy to slip into these things. It's so very easy. And I want to encourage you, don't miss these upcoming services as we go into these subjects, because all of us can slip into this. There are many different kinds of prayer in the Bible. We're going to just, I might say very, very quickly. I mean, I'm just going to basically name them to you. And then we're going to wind it up this morning. I'm going to talk to you just simply, name five of them to you. But every one of these types of prayer are relational. And they are real. And they are intended for you to have absolute intimacy with God and absolute power in your life. And what religion has done to prayer is make it devoid of power. And I imagine probably every one of us in this room have either tried to pray and felt like, look, let's be really honest. Most people don't pray much because they don't think it works. All right. We're having a prayer meeting here Friday night. Churches are participating in the Billy Graham Crusade happening this summer. And we're going to have a prayer meeting over our city this Friday here at Victory. It's a large enough building to fit everybody. 300 churches are invited. 300 churches are participating. We have 2,400 seats. I just give you a hint. We won't need all of them. And can I tell you why? Because people aren't going to come on a Friday night to pray. Why would I do that? And I notice there's no child care. I'm going to get a babysitter to come pray. Now, Henry Blackaby is going to be here. If you don't know who Henry Blackaby is, he's just an incredible father in the faith. They're flying him in for the prayer meeting. But do you want to know why most people won't come? Because they have no confidence that prayer does anything anyway. And yet, can I tell you that there's going to be a hand? There's going to be probably, I would hope, over 1,000 people here on Friday night. And we are going to be praying for God to touch our city. We're going to be adding our faith to people who for many years have been believing that Pittsburgh would be known for what God would do more than we'd be known for steel. That there are people right now whose sons and daughters and mothers and fathers and cousins and uncles and loved ones and neighbors who are without Christ, without God in the world and hellbound. And there is a Billy Graham Association, which is pretty good at winning people to Jesus, is going to come in and invest hundreds of thousands of dollars, rent the Console Energy Center, bring artists in, top Christian artists, for one reason, to be able to bring the gospel to the city of Pittsburgh so that people could know Christ. And we're going to pray about that on Friday night. But why won't many come? Not because you're too busy. And I understand you might have something going on. You might have surgery scheduled. I don't know. Important things like that. But the reality of it is, we don't put it on our schedule because it's like, well, what's the big deal? But here's the really big deal about it. Prayer is such a privilege because you have to understand this. Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body. He has delegated the authority to us. You have to have a body to exercise authority on the earth. And do you know Jesus doesn't have one anymore on the earth except through you? And we're going to pray and we're going to believe God to see something incredible. Five simple types of prayer. I just want to mention to you. The first one is the prayer of agreement. We do that at the end of every service. Prayer partners come down here. And you know how many times, dear people, come in here and they leave here with a problem they have and they never bring it before God because they think prayer is kind of like a prayer in the air and you never know what God's going to do. Give it a shot. They don't know how to believe God. Jesus said in the prayer of agreement that if any two of you on earth will agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus wants prayer to be real. He wants you to know that you can pray, believe, and receive the provision of God in your life. We're talking about an everyday God life who goes into my everyday life situations. A God that wants to come into your darkest, most broken part of your life and my life. The part that brings you the most shame, He wants to show up and help you. The part that if you thought somebody knew they'd run from you, He'll run to you. And He wants you to be able to come and come in a place and be in a church where your problems don't exclude you, but they actually, they qualify you because you need God. In fact, Paul said, in my weakness, that's when I'm strong because of the grace of God. And see how many dear people come into this building and leave and never give God the chance to do something miraculous in your life. Listen to me. We believe in a God who shows up right now. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. We believe he's a God that will show up in your life, a God that will bring healing to your body supernaturally because He's alive. The second kind of prayer is petition prayer. It simply means asking God. In the Gospel of John, listen to what Jesus said. In that day, you will no longer ask me, that the day of His resurrection, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Up until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Do you know that every service before and after, we have a room designated called the healing room where you can go in there and people who know the word of God can lay hands on you and pray for you that God would heal your body. You say, well, yeah, I don't think God does that anymore. Listen. The only thing, listen. God's not dead. Religion just killed Him in people's minds. The Bible said, I'm the Lord, I change not. He said, there's not even a shadow of turning in God. Jesus said in the scripture, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And while He was on the earth, He went about doing good and healing all oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him, and He's the same today. And He wants to show up in your life right now, no matter what's going on in your life. He wants to help you. But prayer that has become, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, kingdom come, will be done. Earth as it is in heaven, I'll be in the King of comes in. That's King, power, and glory. Amen. And we've taken the capacity to talk to the Creator of the universe, who has redeemed you, to call you His own, your son, to call you His son and His daughter, and to talk to Him and by faith receive. A third type of prayer is the prayer of dedication and consecration. It's a prayer you have to pray every day of your life. Jesus prayed it in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the cup of the cross was in front of him, when bearing my sin and your sin was in front of him, he said, "Oh, my Father, let that cup pass from me, but nevertheless, your will be done, not mine." And he submitted to the will of God for my life and for your life. This is a prayer I pray every day of my life. What I've been praying recently in my life is, Lord, this is out of the book of Psalms, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight today." You've got to consecrate. And see, this is intimacy with God. There have been times in my life, in Michelle's life, throughout our history of just walking with God and in ministry, when God would speak to our hearts to do things, that we had to consecrate and dedicate our hearts to God to do it. Time and multiple time, over and over and over again, as he led us to do things that we thought were, that, to be honest with you, I thought, God, why are you asking us to give everything we had away on multiple times? To leave Africa when we, and to come here and start this church in 20 years ago. And what he led us to do it was to give everything we had away. To ask those who supported us to stop. And my wife, she's pregnant. I remember my mind thinking, how are we going to do this? We had a financial means to do it. We just shut that off and we're going to have a baby. I mean, this, God, you know, you can't eat prayers. And yet the prayer of dedication and consecration is, Lord, that's what you ask us to do. We'll do it because we trust you. It's about a relationship with God. And now 20 years later, tens of thousands of people have come to Christ. And what we were struggling over, a $30,000 bank situation that we could have had equipment that we could have resold, that $30,000 and the $7,000 or $8,000 of monthly support that we cut off, in 20 years is a $30 million campus. Where did that come from? Because you can't outgive God. And it had nothing to do with money. It wasn't God asking Michelle and I to do anything about money. He wanted us to develop hearts that could trust him. And if he could trust us with something as worthless as money, he knew someday he would be able to entrust us with the most precious commodity on planet Earth, and that's people. The prayer of dedication. Do you see how sacred it is to pray this way, to work with God, to walk with God, to ask him, to receive from him, to consecrate before him? One type of prayer is the prayer of praise, the prayer of worship. Where you come into this place and you worship God, and you do it in everyday life. Do you know how many times people have come to me through the years? They'll come into our church because they'll sit beside a man or a woman, and that man or woman is doing this throughout the service, and we're singing, and they're going, "Oh, Jesus, I love you, I worship you." People will come up to me sometimes and say, "You know, I'm all for church. But do people really have to be that vocal? It makes me uncomfortable." Well, you know what makes me uncomfortable? That God makes you uncomfortable in church. Can you tell me a better place to worship God? Do you know what religion will do? Somebody gets on, I mean, hot on fire for God. They want to walk with God. The most religious people in the world are the ones that will be mad at you. They'll fight you. "That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing such things. I mean, you're getting very serious about God." Really? You ever been to a Steeler game? Same guy that will come into church and go, "This makes me uncomfortable," will go to a building with 50,000, 60,000, 70,000 screaming people, half of them drunk. I've been to the games. Love it, by the way. I love it. And the guy crosses a chalk line. 6 points go up on a scoreboard. And the same guy that won't come to church and say, "Jesus, I worship you," will go, "Ah! Ah! Scream, high five everybody, dive over six rows, find the guy with the opposing team's jersey on and beer him." The game's finally over. Talk to the guy as he's leaving the stadium. "Man, wasn't that great?" He goes, "It was great. What happened to you?" "I lost my voice." "How'd you do it?" "I'm a fan." You know what? What's a fan? Just somebody that loves the Steelers more than you do. You want to know what a fan in a church is? Somebody loves Jesus and isn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way: "If you don't praise me, the rocks and the stones will cry out." I don't want to get replaced by a rock. See, prayer. Do you see how prayer becomes so religious that when it happens in front of people, they get nervous? Literally, people will say, "That just makes me a little uncomfortable the way you guys worship God in church." How weird that must sound to God. How it makes me uncomfortable to worship God in church. Well, can I tell you something? We are to worship God that way in everyday life. To get up in the morning and say, "I worship you. I love you." Not, "Oh, Father, I come to thee this fine morning," or not so fine morning, depending on what season it is in Pittsburgh. No, it's relational and it's real. And it's saying, "God, Father, oh, I have an area in my life. I know it displeases you. I just can't get free of this. I ask you to help me. I know you love me." He wants to go into your marriage and not make it tolerable. He wants to make it incredible. Religion will make you tolerable. Or intolerable, really. Jesus wants to come in and he said, "I want to make people free." The final one is a prayer of intercession. It's where you pray for other people. But I really want to encourage you to realize that matters, that we pray one for another, because it matters, because it brings the power of God to bear in people's lives. We have in our church, when you call in and you give a prayer request, they get emailed to the pastors, they get emailed to the staff, they get emailed to people who've committed to pray. When I get those, I stop and I pray over people. I pray over your situation. I bring it before God because I expect God to do something amazing in that situation. That's what prayer is. It's an expectation of God in the now. And man, it's an incredible thing to expect God to do that for people. Let me tell you a situation that happened several years ago. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago now. I shared it. I might have shared this several years ago. I forget when it was, but intercessory prayer is praying on the behalf of another. And it's not just you choosing to pray. Sometimes it's God tapping you on the shoulder to know that he's calling you to pray for someone else. I want you to have a relationship with God so that you know what that means. You know what it feels like. You know that God can touch you, awaken you, prompt you to pray for another person. 3 or 4 years ago, maybe longer now, it's about 3, 4 in the morning, and I think Michelle's sick because I hear somebody moaning and crying. We have a king-size bed, and she's 5 foot nothing, so I'm reaching to try to find her, and I can't find her. But I keep hearing this noise, and I'm listening, and finally, I realize she's praying. I come out of my sleep, and I said, "Michelle, are you okay?" She just kept praying. She was praying beyond her own language. See, people make fun of the Spirit-filled life. They make fun of being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in an unknown language. But it's throughout the Bible. And I thank God it's in my life and in my wife's. Because she didn't know what to pray. The Bible said when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, you can pray in this awesome prayer language. And the Bible says you don't speak to men, but you speak directly to God and you pray out divine secrets. And for about 40 minutes, she prayed, and she prayed this out, and she's weeping and praying. And it's just, he said, "What did you do?" "I fell back asleep. God didn't wake me up, woke her up." About 4 in the morning or so, she crawls back into bed. She wakes me up, said, "Honey." I said, "Yeah." She said, "You need to go get in the shower and get ready for the day because that phone's going to ring, and it's going to be something, it's going to be an emergency. But I want you to know, no matter what you hear on that phone, the person will not die. They will live. I don't know the journey, but they will live and not die. I know I've gotten that answer right now." I said, "Okay, honey, well, you know, that's praise God." And I went back to sleep. About 5:30, the phone rings. And it's Kathy Spencer. And she said, "Johnson went to the hospital early to get some kind of test done. And while he was in the hospital, he started to have terrible pain. They brought him to the emergency room, and he's having, I think, 5 clots. Was it 5 or more? In his lungs. He threw blood clots into his lungs. And I don't know if people die from that very easily. So I get the phone call, and I should have already been ready, but I didn't. So I didn't take a shower. I just tried to comb the bumps out of my head and brush my teeth, threw on clothes and got out of there. Got to the hospital, went in to see John and Kathy. And here's what I was able to tell them. See, I'm talking to you about a prayer life that is real and relational in real time that God wants. And God doesn't want to use Michelle because she's a pastor's wife. He uses her because she is yielded to God. And she's as human and as normal as anybody else. And he wants to use you that way. People need people that can hear God's voice. So I went into John. I said, John, I don't know everything. I didn't know all the circumstances. They had just heard from the doctor what was going on in him, and that's life and death. I said, here's what I can tell you. About an hour and a half ago, Michelle was up for 45 minutes, and she was praying for you. And if I'd have listened, I'd have been here sooner. I said, I don't know your journey. I don't know what's going to be required as you heal, but I can tell you this. I don't care what you hear in this. You are not going to die. You're going to live. And now he's a pastor in this church. That's a real good thing, isn't it? Isn't it good? How many know it's a whole lot better having John Spencer on staff in this church than having Kathy be a widow? And let me tell you, that's a good thing, buddy. That's a good thing. And can I tell you, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about a relationship with God. God in the now, a supernatural God that wants to move in our broken lives. And I want you to learn how to live that way. I want you to learn how to be schooled that way. When we launch our next group of small groups, it's my hope that people that know how to pray will do some prayer small groups. See, who would ever want to be in a prayer small group? It's like, oh man, that's a prayer small group? That's just like getting your fingernails pulled out once a week. Unless you knew it was about this. Unless it meant you knew how to tap and to receive from your Heavenly Father and to receive from God and to pray for other people. How many of you would like to be able to go to God on behalf of your children and your grandchildren and know that you've made contact with God, no matter what stuff may be going on in their life, that you know how to be able to go before God, go before God for yourself and be able to hear His voice? These things matter. They matter in everyday life. And I want to encourage you to understand that's what we're talking about. Next week, we're going to go into a part that literally stops. I'm telling you, 100% of Christians deal with the issue that we deal with next weekend. 100% of every one of us deal with this. And it can stop you in your tracks. And I want to encourage you to know that you can walk these things out in your everyday life. Bring people with you to these services. I'm telling you, God is going to set people free. At the end of this series, it's my hope that you leave church like that guy that was screaming left the Super Bowl or the Steeler game. Realizing you realize that you're a victor in Christ, that you're a winner in Him, that He's called you to places you never dreamed possible. It's an incredible way to live. So let's pray together. Let me pray over your lives, and then let's pray into the presence of God this afternoon, and let's believe God together. Father, I thank you for every person here under the sound of my voice. Thank you for your amazing grace, your amazing power, your amazing grace in people's lives. I pray your presence and power to fill every person here, to open our hearts and our understanding. And Lord, I lift up every person here who may not know you, that today may be their final day that they breathe on planet Earth. Where will they spend forever? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you. I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm not asking you if you've been to church, if you've been baptized a baby or confirmed or had a church sacrament. None of that will hurt you, but none of that will make you right with God. There is salvation in no church. There is salvation in no denomination. There is salvation in no sacrament of any church, including this church, including any sacrament we have herein, and including this pastor. There is salvation only in Jesus. And so if you want to receive Him into your life, He promised He'd turn no one away. He'll come and He'll never leave you, never forsake you, and give you the free gift of eternal life. And you can leave this place knowing that you know the One who loved you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you'd say to me, Pastor John, please include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand and then put it down, and then we're going to pray together. I promise you I'm not going to embarrass you or single you out. With every head bowed, every eye closed, right where you're seated, say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just lift your hand real high right now, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, please include me. Just do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. We're going to pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this, and then Christ will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. never forsake you. If you could just remain seated through the end of the service. This is such a sacred time for people. Pray this where you hear it, and we'll pray it together with you. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open my heart and I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound and I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.